If you would, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. As I made mention this morning, we are taking a message here tonight. I don't want to preach this tonight. I wish I could preach it in the morning. Actually, that's what I really want to say. Wish I could preach it in the morning, but the way some of the scheduling goes, I have a series of messages I want to do here during Christmas time. I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. And so tonight we're going to take this message, and then we'll finish up with the remaining verses, 19 through 24. And I'll preach that here the last Sunday of December. And so we'll complete this series on the born-again identity. Let me go ahead and begin reading in verse number 10. We'll read down to verse 18. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always," now this is our text here tonight, note these words, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Tonight we want to talk about this subject, the energy for the armor of God, the energy for the armor of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you tonight asking for your guidance. As I often pray when I read thy word in the mornings, Psalm 119:18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, I pray that you just speak to us, guide us in this time that we have together, in Jesus' name, amen. In our series that we've done here in the book of Ephesians, and very specifically with this section here, we've now completed talking about the pieces of the armor, and it is truly sad that when many preachers preach on the spiritual armor, they leave off verse 18. They'll go through the enemy, they'll talk about the pieces of the armor like the shield and the sword and the feet shod and the helmet of salvation, and they'll name all of that, but they'll forget about verse 18. I believe that verse 18 is imperative to be included in this section. We must view the connection of verses 10 to 18, and let me give you just a brief outline of these verses. Verses 10 to 12 tell us about our enemy. Verses 13 to 17 tell us about the equipment that we're to use. But in verse 18, we find the energy whereby the Christian can put on the armor of God. You see, the subject we're going to share tonight and address here is very simply the subject of prayer. Most people who have been useful for God have been people of prayer. As I have studied biographies and read through many great Christians of yesteryear, I have truly been impressed with this common denominator amongst many of these great Christians, and that is they are people of prayer. Samuel Chadwick said this, "It would revolutionize the lives of most men if they were shut in with God in some secret place for half an hour a day." Now think about it. You got a half an hour to spend? Sure you do. For prayer? Why is prayer so important? Why are we going to talk about this tonight? Because, as someone once well put it, prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God. It's the nerve that moves the muscle of God. Now, as we read this verse tonight and we talk about this importance of prayer and the relevance of prayer to the armor of God and the warfare that we're in, no Christian that has read their Bible for a period of time cannot help but equate the passage in Exodus chapter 17 with this verse here tonight. You remember that great story of the Old Testament Israelites and that period of time when they're traveling through the wilderness? They had just begun their wilderness wanderings. God had already supplied water. God had supplied manna. And here they are in this particular place called Rephidim. And it is here in a place that is known as a place of rest. I want you to get the picture of this. Rephidim is a place of rest. They had already been supplied the nutrients from God. God had given the manna, given the water. All of this had been given to God. And they're enjoying the presence of God. They're soaking in with what God is doing for them, even though they got this hard journey. And there they find the Amalekites attack them. Now, what do they attack them over? Well, it could very well be that they attacked them because of water. You see, water was a very important commodity, especially there in this region, and they come and attack the Israelites. And it behooves us to note the fact that you and I as Christians, maybe in a place of rest, maybe having just soaked in things from the Word of God, maybe we've come from church, maybe we've just read our Bible a couple hours ago, but all of a sudden we find the attacks of the evil one. And what does Moses immediately say to Joshua? Joshua, get you your men together, prepare yourselves, go down to the valley and fight, and I will go up and I will hold the rod up before God. Now, what was the rod representative of? It was representative of God's power. It gave us an indication of the fact that as Moses held that rod up, it was the sense of, for you and I as New Testament believers, of our prayer and intercession before God. And what a picture we have here. Is that not the picture that we face in the Christian life? We're almost doing hand-to-hand combat with the devil. We're fighting him. We're taking him on, if you will, putting on the armor of God, dealing with all the things. But at the same time, we ought not to neglect that prayer before God. And as Joshua is in the battle, he represents us doing the battle. But Moses also represents us who must take these matters to God in prayer. And isn't that interesting? I love that story. In fact, it's a great Sunday school story for children. You know, here Moses is holding that rod up. And how many of you ever been in a church meeting? They say, now hold your hands up. We're going to count how many people are here. And you're like, hurry up and count. My hand's getting heavy. Well, think about Moses holding that rod up. His arm is getting heavy. He wants to lower it. Every time he lowers his hand, what happens? The children of Israel begin losing. He raises his hand, he gets enough strength again, raises his hand, they begin winning again. And Joshua, Hur and Aaron begin to find out that when the rod is up and that intercession is going on, there is victory. And so what do? They help to hold the hand and the arm of Moses up. He's interceding before God. And I'm here to remind you of something. No battle will ever be won in the Christian life unless it is first won on your knees. You and I must get before God and must pray before Him. How important it is. Now, I want to take this verse and just open it up. I have actually, believe it or not, I have more than 3 points tonight. Now, don't get scared. They're not long points, all right? Brother Larry, it's okay, brother. We're gonna hold through, all right? So first of all, get this. Notice here, perpetual praying. Notice the first words given in verse 18, the first two words, praying always. You know, when I think of these words about praying always, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, pray without ceasing. There's two things that you and I ought to consider about this verse that commands us to pray always. First of all, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, that we're not to be heard for our much speaking. So we think to ourselves, all right, if I'm to pray always, I'll just kind of mumble jumble a few bunch of words and just kind of say a bunch of things. No, no, no. God's not interested in you just kind of mumbling a bunch of things here and there, not knowing what you're saying. No, we're not praying to be heard for our much speaking. But on the other hand, Paul does say in this verse and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we are to pray without ceasing. So while we're not to be robots in our speaking, if you will, we ought to be in constant communion with God. So you say, preacher, what does that mean? If I'm to pray always, the 1 Thessalonians or this passage, and pray without ceasing, does that mean that I'm to quit my job so I can just pray? No. Does that mean that I don't come to church so I can just be at home in the closet and praying before God? No. What I believe praying always means is that your life is in such a way that at any moment you can lift your voice and speak to the God of heaven. Amen. I'm here to tell you something. God's ear is constantly bent to hear the voice of his children. How sad it is when God is bending over saying, I'm waiting, I want to hear from you, and we go about our day talking to everybody else, doing our own thing, and not spending time with God. No wonder we lose the battle, because we're not praying always. I think the fact of us not praying always is a threefold problem. First of all, our mind is concentrated on so many other things. You know, many times we come to a message like this and we hear a sermon about prayer. We go, oh, yes, I need to spend. And then we get tomorrow to Monday and we go through our day and we're at work and we've got this to take care of with the children and the grandchildren are coming in and all of these things are going on. And the end of the day comes and we're so tired, we don't even consider praying. That's our problem. We get distracted is one problem. Number two problem is this, that we only pray when things are difficult. Isn't it amazing about the human nature? That when we get into difficulty and hard times, we all of a sudden look to God. But when everything is going okay, we think, you know, I've got this thing. I've got it. No, you don't. You don't have it. That's why in good times or bad times, in hard times or easy times, always look to God. And that's our second problem, is that we only pray in the difficult times. But our third problem is sometimes we only pray when we feel like it. I don't feel like praying. Really. We often allow the feelings to be the thief of all that is good for our spiritual life. The great preacher R.A. Torrey said this, Have you never had this experience that when you knelt to pray, it seemed as if there was no one there, as if you were just talking into the air, into the empty space? What shall we do at such a time as that? Shall we stop praying and wait until sometime when we feel like praying? No. When we least feel like praying and when God is least real to us, that is the time we must most need to pray. And I think Corrie ten Boom, that wonderful Christian of many years ago, would have answered Tori's question by saying this, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. It was said of John Wesley that he would pray for 1 hour in the evening and 1 hour in the morning. No wonder Wesley, with his preaching and his desire and his energy for God, shook the world because he first shook heaven and hell with his preaching. His preaching had a sense of urgency because he had touched eternity on his knees. What are you doing with your life? Oh, we read about these great Christians. We say, look at what they did. Look at these men, how they did such great things. It's because they were men of prayer. They saw great, mighty things, not because of who they were. You see, sometimes we think when we get to heaven that we're going to get up there and be like, oh, John Wesley, or this man, or this preacher, or C.H. Spurgeon, or this man. No, those men are no different than you and I are. You see, we're going to get up to heaven and see the God that made all of this possible. It's God. Well, second thing I want you to notice, it's not only a perpetual praying, but it is a prescribed praying. Notice here, praying with all prayer and supplication. Now, all prayer. The word prayer here is a general word for prayer, and it indicates our coming into God's presence. Coming to me, the Lord calls us to do that and to pray. We pray generally. We can pray by giving thanks to the Lord. We just came out of our Thanksgiving season. Yes, I am listening to Christmas music now. I just want you to know that. But Thanksgiving is a great weapon, prayer weapon for defeating Satan. Praise gives the believer the right perspective on life, on God, and on circumstances. But notice this word, supplication. I want to emphasize this for just a moment. The word prayer is a general praying, just coming into God's presence, and we could be giving our thanks, we could be giving our praise, but the word supplication refers to a specific petition. You see, it's one thing to approach God in a general way, but it's a whole nother ball game when we come to Him for specific requests at specific times. The preacher A.T. Pearson one day was telling this story about George Mueller. He was in George Mueller's presence. Mueller was busy writing a letter and speaking at the same time when his pen quit writing. And right at that moment, he dropped his pen and he bowed his head and began to pray out loud that God would provide another pen. A.T. Pearson thought, and he said these words, "A man who prays 1,000,000 pounds also prays about a scratchy pen point." You know, before we begin criticizing a man like George Mueller praying for something simple, you and I ought to take some of that to heart. I think you and I ought to be specific when we pray for the individuals that are in our life, whether they be family members, relatives, or friends. What do you pray for when you pray for other people? Oh, Lord, you know, our typical praying for missionaries and other people is, what is it? Bless the missionaries, Lord. Yeah, help all those missionaries. I know Calvary supports a bunch of those missionaries, but Lord, I can't remember one of them by name. Haven't read their letters in a year, but Lord, bless them, please. I'm not saying that God's not hearing that prayer, but you know what? It'd be nice to get specific. When's the last time you've gone to one of your friends and said, "How can I pray for you this week?" That would change your prayer life. When's the last time you've grabbed some missionary letters or at least chose one missionary right off of that mission screen out in the foyer and you looked at the prayer requests, which there are multitudes of prayer requests? I'm telling you, they abound. When's the last time you've taken one of those missionaries and you've prayed for them? That's supplication. That's not just coming to God and saying, "Oh God, bless these people, bless them, and Lord, just help me today. Amen." No, that's coming and naming those people and having specific things to pray for. When's the last time you prayed specifically for this church? When's the last time you specifically prayed for your pastor and the deacons here and the leaders of Calvary Baptist Church? When's the last time you prayed specifically? I'm just telling you, it'll help revolutionize your prayer life if you begin praying these supplications and begin getting specific. You know, we often sing the great hymn that was written years ago, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," but yet we sing it and we scratch our head at the same time and say, "Man, I've never prayed for an hour." But I'm going to tell you that if you begin to get specific in your praying, you will be surprised at how time does go by. I have a habit of writing things down, or actually I use a specific app for praying. And I have prayer requests listed in there. I have all the missionaries Their letters are sent to me by way of email, and I have them categorized. And so every day I pray for missionaries, and I read their letters, and I pray for the prayer request. Unless you and I put some effort into our prayer time, it's going to be minuscule. And when it comes to the battles of the Christian life, the temptations you face would be well suited if you pray specifically concerning those areas. Notice another area of praying, not only prescribed praying, but power of God praying. Notice he says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I think here, when we talk about praying in the Spirit, we are talking about power of God praying. This type of prayer is Spirit-energized, Spirit-enabled, and Spirit-directed. Hold your place here for just a moment and turn back to the book of Romans, if you would, please. Romans chapter number 8. I want you to see a particular passage of Scripture that I think will help illuminate some things for you tonight. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. The Bible says here, Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now notice this phrase in verse 26. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever come to prayer and felt helpless? Maybe it's something that you've prayed for someone else who's going through sickness, or they're in the process of dying, or it's some struggle you're going through in your life. And maybe it's a temptation you've battled over and over and you've given in multiple times. And it's almost as if you come before God and you don't even know what to say. I've been there many times. I'm sure you have. You felt helpless. It's possible that you've come to pray and maybe the prayers that you're praying are, you're praying, but your prayer is just mechanical. You know what I mean by just mechanical? It's just, there's nothing to it. There's no real praying going on. And I believe this is why at this moment it is necessary for us to understand that we must rely upon the Holy Spirit for His help. Because notice verse 26, likewise the Spirit also, what's the next word? Helpeth. He helpeth our infirmities. You see, the Spirit of God is known as the Comforter. Literally, that title is the one who helps us, the one who comes alongside. And I really believe that as the Spirit of God energizes us and directs us, He helps us to pray with power when we don't feel like there's any power in praying. And I believe that that is effective for three reasons. The prayers of the Holy Spirit are effective for three reasons, because notice verse 27. First of all, He searches our hearts. Who does? God does. God searches our hearts. And when He searches our hearts, He sees as a Christian that the Holy Spirit is there. And so He communicates with the Holy Spirit. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And you know what the Spirit does? The Spirit who resides in us, when we get to pray and we can't even mouth the words, when we groan and we just feel frustrated and we feel distraught and we don't know what to say, the Spirit who indwells us helps to communicate to the Father those things that we need to pray for. And guess what? He does it according to the will of God. Let me illustrate it this way. I've been in a number of foreign countries, And I've utilized translators, and I'll tell you, they're a great help when you need them. I'll never forget, a number of years ago, I was in Honduras, in fact. And Paula is from Honduras, and so this you'll appreciate this. But I was there with one of the missionaries, with a couple different missionaries, and we were in a restaurant. And typically, the missionaries that I have always been with, when I'm with them and I'm ready to order at a restaurant, they'll say, "Now let me order this for him." Order, but this missionary at this particular dinner time was carried away with somebody else in conversation, and the waiter came by me, and I said, "I'd like chicken." And he looked at me, and he must not have known the word chicken in English. And he said, whatever he said in Spanish, he kind of spoke to me. And so, you know, I just said, "You know, chicken, you know." I said, "Bluck, bluck, bluck, bluck." You know, I just kind of started making noises, started doing this. And he looked at me, and now I really think he was just playing it up. You know, I think he just said, "Let's see how far this American will go with his theatrics." And finally, when the missionary saw that I was ordering, he ran over and he said, "Oh," and he began to speak in the Spanish language. And he said, "He wants this and this and this." And everything was done. You know what? There was a man who came and helped me. I couldn't communicate it. But the missionary I was with came along and communicated with me. You know what? That's what the Holy Spirit does. When you and I are in struggle in praying, the Holy Spirit, who knows what the will of God is, says, "Let me take all these things you're dealing with. You're dealing with these temptations and these struggles and these trials, and I'm going to help you pray the very will of God." Wow, that's powerful praying. But now notice, prepared praying. Notice here the words, and I'm using these words again back in Ephesians chapter 6. The first word, praying, and then notice, and watching. Praying and watching. The root word, the root of the word watching means to chase away sleep. The word simply carries with it the idea of being alert. And you know, there's a lot of verses, I'm just going to share a couple with you, that share and utilize the principle of watching and praying together. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. This is when the Israelites under Zerubbabel are finding the opposition and building the wall. And here it is, they said, "Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." How about Mark chapter 14, verse 38, where Jesus is in the garden just before Gethsemane. Jesus said to his disciples in the garden, "Watch ye and pray." I'm here to tell you something, that it is imperative that as we pray, we watch. That we watch in times of difficulties. We watch in times of leisure. We watch in times of attack. We watch during the emotional strains that are upon our life. Why? Because it is at those times the devil comes to attack. And you and I must be prepared. And we must not just simply be watching, but watching and praying. But then notice, persevering praying. He says, praying with all perseverance. Simply put, these words mean to stick with something. Notice the way the early church treated prayer. The word continue is used over Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is the way, my friend, you and I ought to always pray. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. What do you mean by perseverance? What are we talking about? Is this similar to a child begging a mother to change her mind? No. Robert Law had this to say about this matter of prayer. He said, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth. And I want to tell you something, that if you're going to be a person who's going to persevere in prayer, it is imperative that you begin setting out the time to pray. You'll never persevere in anything in life, whether it's prayer or any other matter of life, unless you set out to do it. And I'm here to remind you that unless you decide that tomorrow morning I'm going to spend time in prayer, tomorrow evening, whatever times that you set, unless you set it out, it won't happen. But I'm here to tell you something. Don't quit praying. You have a battle you're going through and you feel like you're about ready to lose. Don't quit praying. You have an unsaved relative, an unsaved friend. You've prayed for years. My friend, don't quit praying. Just because you don't see an answer right away, we're in this microwave generation where we want everything instantly. We want things right now. And when we pray for something for a day, a week, a month, and we don't see an answer, we kind of put it aside. But I'm here to tell you that God has the time and God is working. Keep praying. But lastly, notice particular praying. He says here in verse 18, the first word, praying, the last three words, for all saints. I love the way Warren Wiersbe put it in his little commentary in Ephesians. He says that the Lord's Prayer begins with our Father, not my Father. That means that there is something about our relationship together. We're in this together. And how important it is that we pray for one another. There's a number of scriptures that talk about one another. And on a number of occasions, we see the phrases praying one for another. Do you pray for those seated next to you? Do you pray for those that you associate with regularly in this church? Pray one for another. How important it is. The greatest thing that anybody can do for God and for man is to pray. You can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. Today, as we gather here for this particular time and we look at this passage of Scripture with regards to praying, I want to challenge you tonight to make a decision about praying. I'm going to be bold to make this statement. There is no person in here tonight that I don't think that could not improve in their prayer life, myself included. Now, many times at invitations, we have people, and people will just kind of watch. Invitation for them is just a time just to kind of see what's going on. But I want to tell you something. Invitation to me is a very serious time for people to make decisions. And today, I want to encourage you to make some serious decisions before God in regards to prayer. What decisions could I make, Pastor? Well, maybe some of you have just been hit and miss with regards to prayer, and you need to begin setting a time. Say, Lord, when I get up in the morning, I will begin my prayer time. Now, look, don't try hitting a home run. Don't say, well, Lord, I'm going to pray for an hour tomorrow. If you haven't been praying for, if you've only been praying a minute a day, don't shoot out for an hour tomorrow. Okay? Because you're going to come back Wednesday to church and you're going to say, preacher, this stuff ain't working. It's not helping me. I can't really do this. Look, begin to work into some things. Set aside, I'm going to give 5 minutes. I'm going to give 10 minutes to praying. But set aside a time to pray. Some of you need to be specific in your prayer. Some of you, your prayers have been just very general. And the reason God hasn't answered prayer, the reason you haven't seen victories in your life, and the reason that you haven't really grown much in the Lord is because you've not been specific in your prayers. And so tonight, you need to get before God and say, God, I'm going to get specific. But I think another area is that there's some things probably you're praying for that you're just struggling. You don't even know what to say. And it might be tonight you just come before God and you say, God, I'm going to go ahead and yield to the Holy Spirit. He knows what the will of the Father is. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows how to word it. And I'm going to yield to Him helping me in prayer. I don't know what it is, but all of us need improvement. I'm going to say a word of prayer as we close this message tonight. I'm not going to go ahead and call for just this formal invitation and beg you to come. I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you come tonight and would you say, God, I yield myself. I want to see improvement in my prayer life. I need victory. I need guidance. I need help. There are some things I'm supplicating before God that I need answers. Persevering prayer. Don't quit. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to come and to get some things settled with God tonight in this matter of prayer. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in our midst. And may you guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name.